Thank you, Ray. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Just give me a minute to set up here. I brought some props. Crazy news about that volcano this morning. Hopefully, I didn't see any casualty reports, but hopefully it wasn't too bad. Volcanoes are quite the destructive force. Interestingly, I was going to talk about volcanoes a little bit today in my message. But for a lack of time, I had to exclude some of the more scientific details. This is a rock. I don't know if you guys have ever seen one of those before. It's very hard. It's heavy. And it's pretty difficult to do much damage to it. This particular one is an igneous rock, which means it formed under great amounts of pressure and heat. So that makes it pretty tough. Well, God is our rock, isn't he? We're going to start, I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you in Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 through 4. It says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." In Psalms 31, verse 1 through 4 as well, we read, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength." There are somewhere around 60 scriptures in the Bible that refer to God the Father as our rock. He is the protector of his people. We can always rely on him. He provides us strength because we know that he will never waver in his promises. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church. Long before Jesus Christ was born, somewhere around 700 years before him, Isaiah wrote in chapter 28, verse 16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a secure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." So Jesus Christ is a stone for all who choose to follow him, and his example as one who overcame and lived without sin, as we strive so difficultly to do. He is also the cornerstone of our church. The church is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Joshua 4, verse 1 through 3 says, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men of the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You should carry them over with you, and you leave them in a lodging place where you lodge tonight." And then down in verse 6 through 7, as he's instructing the men to do this, he says, "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." In this last example, the rocks are used to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. So we can see there's a lot of analogies in the Bible that refer to either God or Jesus Christ or even sometimes his people as rocks. That may actually be the only one, the last scripture where God's people are referred to as rocks. But either way, what this tells us is that we are to become rocks like God. Matthew 5, verse 48 says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So what does that mean for us? Well, like we talked about this rock here, it's very hard. It's difficult to break down. It's steadfast. It's not easily moved. And that's how we are to be. Jumping forward into Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, Christ says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out no more. I write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write on him my new name." So we're learning to be rocks like our Father in heaven. We have to become strong in our convictions in what this means. We need to become steadfast in his ways, not yielding to the temptation of sin. We are to be trustworthy and dependable. Sometimes when I give into temptation, I think of myself more of like a clod of dirt. You guys remember being kids and you pick up these little dirt clods off of the ground and you pick them up and throw them at things or each other and they break apart. You can break them in your hand. Well, to me, a lot of the time, that's what I am. I'm like a clod of dirt. I'm sure that most, you know, many of you and all of you have felt that way at some times, where even the slightest bit of pressure we can cause us to crumble and break, and we sin, we transgress, we break God's laws, and we're very fortunate to have the ability to, you know, repent and turn back to God and be made whole again. So if we are rocks, we shall not be crushed under the weight of the world, but we should stand ground and never lose faith in God. I'll spend the rest of my time in this short message in Revelation 21. Starting in verse 2. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This is going to be a really interesting time, isn't it? The old earth and the old heaven have passed away. What does that mean? You know, we could be talking about a complete structural change of the planet that we call Earth, or we could be talking about something completely different, a shift to a spiritual place. Who knows? We'll see. And then moving on to verse 9, it says, "Come here, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then in verse 14, it says, "Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, sardonyx. That's not a name we really use anymore, but a lot of these names actually describe multiple possible types of gemstones and different types of sapphires and mineral compositions. I digress. The sixth, sardius, crystallite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, and amethyst. I looked up a lot of pictures of artist representations of what this looks like. It kind of looks like a rainbow, you know, you have all these different colors. And, you know, emerald can actually be red or blue or yellow. It doesn't always have to be, green. Sapphire doesn't always have to be blue, but I think the point is that these are precious stones. They're polished, you know. They're refined. They're hard. They're the next level of what something like this could eventually become. Now, I'm not rich, so I didn't have any gemstones. And I forgot to go out and get something that was a plastic representation of one. So I have this instead. We'll just have to use our imaginations and pretend this is a gemstone. This is actually a geode, barely. It's got a little bit of a cavity in there. It's very beautiful. It was a gift from my wife for one of my birthdays. It's a bookend on the bookshelf. Anyway, so we're going to pretend this was a gemstone. And some of you may be wearing diamonds on your rings, one of the most precious stones on earth. They're extremely hard due to their composition of almost pure carbon. So what makes a gemstone precious anyway? In an article by Robert Colville for Brain Dump on an issue of How It Works, according to the German expert Max Bauer, precious stones are the minerals which combine the highest degrees of beauty, hardness, durability, and rarity. Interesting. We are striving for perfection, aren't we? That day when we will be changed from rocks into gemstones. Let's think of ourselves now as rocks, as God is our rock, and it is our goal to be like Him. When we are tempted to sin, we can do one of two things. We can allow ourselves to crumble under the weight of temptation like a clod of dirt, or we can stand firm and steadfast in our commitment to God. By our example to others, we can be rocks when we choose to obey the laws of God, even when it gets in the way of our jobs, our hobbies, or even our relationships. By the words we choose to use, or by the words we choose not to use, and in all that we say and do. Let us use this analogy of rocks and gemstones, brethren, to remember each day what it is that we are to be like, and what it is that we will one day become if we remain diligent and steadfast and faithful to God. Remember that God is our rock. Christ is our cornerstone. To them, you are already precious like a gemstone. But each time we sin, we become flawed and tainted. Repent and be made whole again by your faith in Jesus Christ. And one day, when he establishes his kingdom on earth, you will be given a new body, polished and perfect, once and for all the gemstones that we are all destined to be. Happy Sabbath.